Romans chapter number 12. We're going to get back to Romans chapter 12. We've been studying through Romans 12. We took some time away from it to continue to look at the doctrine of prayer. And if I trust that you will recall, if you look at Romans chapter number 12, at verse 12, this is the passage everybody has memorized by now, right? Romans 12, 12, it says, "Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer." And so we took a few weeks to talk specifically about prayer. There's a whole lot more to study about prayer, but we're just not going to do that right now. If you would like some detailed study about the doctrine of prayer, and in particular about prayer during the dispensation of grace, I would encourage you to read through the book of Philippians, and then you can go back and listen to our series on the book of Philippians that we taught some time ago when we talked a lot about prayer in that series, because it obviously is a major theme in the book of Philippians. But we're going to continue then in Romans this morning. Look at, start with me therefore at verse 13. Now we're going to try this morning to get down to, just to see if we can get down to verse 17. He says, "Distributing to the necessity of saints, give them to hospitality, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." Let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you again that we can meet this morning as a family of believers to once again open your word and allow your word to be the authority, to be the life that we live on, to be our nutrition, to be that which guides us and instructs us and comforts us and encourages us, because we know that all of us, we all need that all the time. We do ask for wisdom. We ask for insight. So as we read these passages, that we would realize that these passages speak about a power that is great, way greater than what we could do, but indeed is the exceeding greatness of your power in these earthen vessels, in the details of life. Well, thank you for that in Christ's name. Amen. All right, well, I'm sure that you've read through Romans 12 on a number of occasions, and Romans 12, the details here, they're details that you can read through pretty easily, pretty simply, and not really think about what it's saying, and not really realize the power that is necessary to have these verses be a reality in the life of a believer. For example, how easy is it just to read through, look at verse 13, "distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality." How easy was it to do and now read that and then just move on to something else? How easy is it just to kind of read through when it says at verse 14, "bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not," and you can kind of just give a nod to that, yeah, we should bless and curse not, okay, what's next kind of a thing. How easy is it just to read through, "rejoice with them that do rejoice, weep with them that weep," and then you kind of move on and think about something else. But as we think about the details, and if we will think about each of these verses, each of these phrases, each of these bits of instruction that the Word of God gives us here, I got to tell you, these verses demand a different resource, a different power source to be able to actually do what these verses say. These verses go far beyond than simply the external flesh trying to be a nice, sweet human being. This is not just one human being trying to be a nice human being to another person. Now, by the way, go ahead and be nice, okay? Let's not be mean people, all right? Nothing wrong with being nice. But if what these verses was simply about the idea, let's just go out and be nice people, then why do we need the Word of God to tell us that? Father, I mean, we can have the whole concept of self-improvement, that whole concept out there, that whole movement about, you know, self-improvement. They all say that same thing, be a nice human being. This is way deeper than that. And what's going on here in these verses, it demands a power source that is way different than simply the energy of the flesh. Think about it this way. Look at verse 17. It says, "recompense to some men evil for evil." You see how all-encompassing that phrase is? That's a verse you'd like to kind of want to forget sometimes. Someone comes along and does you wrong. what do you want to do? Get them back is exactly right, you see. So you read through these passages and you kind of say, Lord, can we just kind of skip some of these verses? The Lord says, well, you can, but it's still there. You know, that's the problem with the Word of God. That's one of the reasons why everybody wants to change the Bible, right? You don't like what it says, so you change it and so forth. So I just want to say that right as we continue our study in the book of Romans, we have to remember that these are not details about you and I just going out and being nice people, all right? Rather, these are details that require the power of the Spirit of God working in us so that we yield our will to these verses. That's what happens. That's what it takes. And that takes power, right? So let's just kind of take a few minutes this morning. We're going to try to get down, if we can, to verse 17 or 18, somewhere along in there. We'll just see what we can do. Look at verse 13 now. He says, distributing to the necessity of saints given to hospitality. But by the way, you got to look at the punctuation in the verse here. What does verse 12 end with? Yeah, so you understand that verse 13 is not a separate sentence. It's a continuation of the thought. And the thought that the Apostle Paul is doing here is, of course, the body ministering to itself. So I'm not trying to disconnect verses here, all right? But we obviously spoke about the issue of prayer. So now go back to verse 13. He says, distributing to the necessity of saints. Tell me something that you know about the saints just by reading that verse right there. They have needs. I was listening to a guy on the radio yesterday, a believer on a Christian station. That can be a dangerous thing to do, by the way, sometimes, because it makes your blood pressure go up sometimes, okay? This guy was basically preaching the concept of a health, wealth, prosperity gospel. And that is that, you know, if you're in Christ, then you're blessed, and that you should have health, you should have wealth, and you should have prosperity. And of course, I'm thinking distributing to the necessity of saints. How often when reading through the epistles of the Apostle Paul, do you find Paul describing in detail needs that he had that were not met? Do you ever find that? Yeah. How about if you go with me over to the book of Philippians here, just for a moment. Go with me to the book of Philippians, and if you'll look at chapter 4. Look at Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4, and it says this. I'm at verse 10 now. Philippians 4:10. He says, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me has flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. When the Apostle Paul says in that verse that now at the last your care of me has flourished again, well, what's implied about their care of him? That there were some gaps, right? And during those times of gap, in a sense, what did he have? He had needs that were not met. Now, he's not giving them a hard time there. He understands that they lacked opportunity. He understands that there were some things that were hindering, involved, and so forth. But he says this at verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Now, there's some spiritual power. That verse, it demands the excellency of the power of being of God and not of us. How often are we content with our circumstances? Not so often. We usually like to complain or bother someone about our circumstances or live with the view that, well, someday everything's going to get better. By the way, is that a true statement? Is someday everything? Yeah, it is. It's just not necessarily this side of glory that it's all going to get better, right? And there's nothing wrong with being optimistic. Definitely be optimistic, all right? Because after all, in the end, it is just glory for you as a believer. There's nothing wrong with plans, purposes, hoping that things get better. There's nothing wrong with that at all. But the fact is, sometimes whatever your plans are, life happens, and those plans can be totally, you know, turned upside down. And what it is, that for you and me as believers, there's a power that operates in us. It's the Word of God, right? That is able to bring us to the place where we can truly say with the Apostle Paul, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Now, question. How do you do that? Okay, quit working. Quit working and be happy, right? Why worry? Be happy. Was that the song that was popular a number of years ago, you know? What's the key to being content with your current state? Yes, exactly right. Is to have confidence in your standing. The key to being content with the current circumstances is resting in your standing in Christ, because that can never change. Circumstances change, they change all the time. So we want to view our circumstances, our needs, because that's kind of where we're driving at here. We want to view our circumstances from the standpoint of our true identity that we are in Christ. See that? Now keep reading. Watch this. Verse 12. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. You realize there are all kinds of how-to books. You know, one of the most famous ones, How to Be Happy Though Married. You know, it's like, I'm happy and married. I love it, you know, and so forth. You know, how to win the lottery, how to, you know, how to build an engine, how to graduate from high school. There's all these how-to books. The Word of God is the how-to book to tell us how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be what? Hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. The doctrine that teaches that if you have needs, if you're not healthy and wealthy and wise, you're just not in the will of God, that's false doctrine. And for us to place our confidence in something like that, it's raw, it's misplaced dependency, it's unrealistic expectations. We are not yet living in our glorified bodies. You know that, right? Do everybody know that? Yeah. Come on now. How come some of y'all aren't agreeing with that statement? Come on. The young kids that don't have any pain, they got no aches and pains in their joints and knees and this and that, they don't know yet what they're talking about, right? You know? But we're not in our glorified body yet. We're not in the glories of heaven yet and so forth. We are in Christ, and all those that's promised to us, we're just not there yet. So this side of glory, what is it that you can expect? Yeah, problems. Okay? Needs. Sound doctrine enables us. It works inside of us so that we know how to be abased and abound at the same time. You don't want to read that verse wrong. Look at verse 12. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. He's not saying it in this sense. He's not saying like last week I was abased, this week I'm abounding. That's not the sense. He's not saying, well, like last week I was abounding, next week I'll be abased, and then maybe a few months later I'll abound. That's not the sense at all. And neither is he saying, he says, everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry. He's not saying this way. He's not saying, well, last week I was hungry, this week is Thanksgiving. Are you looking forward to Thanksgiving, by the way? Lots of good food. Now, the week after that, everybody's got to go on a diet, right? And so forth. But that's not the point. He isn't saying, last week I was hungry, this week I'm full. Now that might have been true, but that's not, his point is, I know how to do that at the same moment in time in every circumstance. You see that? He says, everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Now here's the power source. I can do all things through what? Through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So who is our source? The Lord Jesus Christ. We have to remember that. When we say that Christ is our source, He is our life, what do I mean by that? You ever thought about that? What does that mean? Is it metaphysical? Is it just some mindset? What do I mean by that? That Christ is our source? What's that? He's our energy. But how is He our energy? How is He our life? How? His Word. He Himself personally, by means of the Holy Spirit, lives where? In you. How do you know He lives in you? The Word of God says so. You know, that song that says, I know He lives today because He lives in my heart. You know, I feel good. No, it's not based on feeling. It's based on what the Word of God says. You know He lives in you by means of His Spirit because the Word of God says so. the way that Christ is my strength, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, is the Word of God as we trust the Word of God in our life in the circumstance. Life is the opportunity to apply the Word. Do you want to apply the Word of God? Yes or no? Anybody here want to apply the Word of God? You know how you do it? Live life. Yeah, take a breath. That is how you apply it. If you're living life, there's the window of opportunity. That's exactly. Whatsoever first aid, you know? Life is the opportunity to apply the details of life. And we're talking specifically now about this issue of needs. You're going to have needs. Question. If and when you have needs, does that mean you're out of the will of God? Not necessarily at all. If and when you have needs in your life, does that mean God isn't blessing you? No, don't link the two. Because they're not linked. They're not linked. If and when you have needs, why might you have needs? Because you're living. You live in a sin-cursed world with a body that's falling apart, right? We were talking about that earlier, you know. Just give it enough time. This is just life. So we're going to have needs. Well, in a fallen situation. See that? Okay. Now, go back with me, if you would, over to Romans 12. Let's take this issue of the necessity. Necessity. Necessities. What's this? Because we're talking about needs. Saints have needs. Look over to Romans. Did I say Romans 12? That's where I want to go. I'm going to go back to Romans 12. Watch this. Look over to Romans 12, verse 13. It says this. Distributing to the necessity of saints. Distributing. Saints have needs. As a human being, we are made up of three entities. Anybody know what they are? Spirit, soul, and body. As a saint, you still have spirit, soul, and body. As a saint, we have needs in all three of those realms, spirit, soul, and body. And as members one of another, we are privileged to distribute to the necessity of saints. See that? When it talks about the idea of distributing, let me use an example. You will recall, I trust, that earlier in the chapter, the Apostle Paul compares and he likens the church, the body of Christ, to your physical body. Do you remember back at verse 4? For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. See how the Apostle Paul very clearly compares the reality of the church, the body of Christ, to your physical body. Does our physical bodies, that isn't right, right? Does and bodies, is that right? Anyway, does your physical body have needs? How often? Yeah, wake up and I'm hungry, right? Brush your teeth and I'm hungry, right? And go and do something and I'm hungry, right? Your body always has needs, all right? How are the needs of your physical body for, say, nutrition, that type of thing, how are they met? You eat, right? But how come you can take that food into your mouth, chew it up, and then it actually meets the needs of your muscles, your heart, the various organs that you have, and so forth? What happens? The nutrients are being what? Distributed to the necessity of the various organs of your body. So too, as members one of another, we have the great privilege to distribute to the necessity of saints. Ken, we've been off and on. Ken says, hey, we need to talk about body life. This is it. We're there, right? And it's a great subject, all right? Body life, local assembly, the members of the body of Christ ministering one to another, distributing to the necessity of saints. Question, does anybody here have needs? So how does anybody else know about it? You have to communicate. What happens when you communicate? You get closer. Interaction. The body of Christ grows together. See that? So one of the ways that the church, the body of Christ, that a local assembly fulfills that verse right there, it demands the interaction. It demands contact. it demands, and when I say demands, I'm not talking about the law. You understand that. I'm saying that in order for that verse to come to pass in the life of the local assembly, therefore in your life, there's got to be interaction. There's got to be communication, which there is, and there needs to be more. Look at what else he says in that verse. It's fascinating. He says, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to what? What's the word? What word do you see in that word?
Hospital.
Isn't that, that's an incredible word. Before you can say hospitality, you said hospital. Does anybody know what goes on in a hospital?
Pain.
Suffering. Care. That's the idea of care. Ken made a real good point. I'll tell you what isn't in giving a hand, okay? Every once in a while he comes up with some really good points there. The word patient. Tell us what you said this morning about the word patient. Do you remember what you said? Suffering. Did you know that? The root of the word patient, P-A-T-I, is the idea of suffering. So, who's in hospitals? Patients, right? They say nurses are patient people. That, right? Well, Laurie was a nurse. Denise is a nurse. Who else is a nurse in here? You know? Anybody else a nurse in here? Yeah, listen, given the hospitality, hospital. Hospital is a place where people go that need care. I heard it said this way, the saints are wounded and they're hurting. And if the saints are wounded and hurting, where are they going to go for care? Are they going to go to the world? Sometimes they do, because they think that's the only place to go. They're not sure where else to turn. But you and I, as members one of another, in a local assembly, or even in your own home, in your own community and so forth, you and I have the great privilege of distributing to the necessity of saints in those three areas, spirit, soul, and body, realizing that the saints have needs. They're wounded and they're hurting. They need care. Now, do you realize, in order to give medication, physical medication, in order to give a shot, in order to do things like that, you have to be licensed, you know, certified, all this. Again, you know, we have a couple of nurses in our midst here and so forth, but to be able to do that, you got to go to school, you got to be licensed to be a doctor, a school license, all this kind of stuff. But do you realize, to be able to be given to hospitality, to distribute to the necessity of saints, do you have to be licensed? No. How come? Because we're talking about taking the Word of God, which is the medicine. We're talking about taking the Scripture that you know that has worked in your life and simply ministering it to someone else who is hurting and wounded and nurturing them back to health. That's what's going on here. That's what the Apostle Paul is talking about. This is real life. Now, you see why I say that this takes power? What does it take? You know what it takes? It takes inconvenience. It takes you being willing to allow yourself to be inconvenienced by someone else's need and you being willing to help that person. Well, wait. But that wasn't in my plan for the day. That wasn't in my schedule for today. That's not on my calendar. See what happens here? And so what can happen is that all of a sudden we let a verse like this that's so vital for the body of Christ and let a verse like this that is so powerful and such a wonderful opportunity to apply grace, we kind of let it go aside. And I'm as guilty as the rest on it. I mean, I get busy, my schedule gets full and everything, and I have to stop and say, wait a minute, you know? I'm reading through the book of Acts on some things right now. And a verse of passage, I've read this thing hundreds of times, and it just kind of struck me. You know, isn't that interesting how the Word of God keeps hitting you? And how we talk about it that way? The Word of God just hit me across the face. Like God is accustomed to, you know, battering and bruising. God's an abuser with His Word. He's really not. But look with me, if you would, over to Acts chapter number 20 here. Look over to Acts chapter number 20. Now, I've got to find this verse here. Let's see. Look at this. Look over to Acts chapter number 20. And the Apostle Paul is talking with these men from Ephesus who were the elders at the church, and he's indicating that this is one of the last times he's actually going to see them, and he's going to go to Jerusalem and so forth, and he's given them some pretty important instructions, but he just says something very interesting here. Look at verse 34. Yea, yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. Now watch verse 35. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to what? Support the weak. Now I've read that verse hundreds of times. And I've seen that phrase before. And it just kind of struck me to support the weak. I just kind of thought about it for a little bit there. Support the weak. Support the weak. Does that mean the weak financially? Does that mean the guys that haven't been going to the gym lately? Does that mean support the weak? Support them with what and how? Well, I don't think there's any doubt that the Apostle Paul, over in the book of Romans, he says things like, they that are weak in the faith receive you, but not to doubtful disputations. When he says support the weak, in order to support something, what are you doing? This Bible right here, right now, is being supported by this pulpit. What's the pulpit doing? It's carrying it. Isn't that interesting? So to be able to support the weak means sometimes you gotta bear them up. Sometimes you gotta carry them. But what's gonna do that? You can't do that. I can't do that. Our flesh doesn't want to do it unless we get some grand applause out of it, right? What is going to support the weak? What's going to bear them up is the same thing that bears you up. What is it? It's the Word of God. So when those verses say, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality, we want to give ourselves. That requires choice. That requires a willingness to be inconvenienced, to change our schedule sometimes. It requires, and again, not the law, it requires that we make a decision that, you know what? I know that if another believer is like me, and they are, and I'm like them, and that's true too, then they're probably hurting. And they probably could use a passage of Scripture right now. They probably could use a phone call or a simple, how are you doing? How are things going? They could probably use some prayer. And how would you know if they need that? You got to ask. You got to call them. How are you doing? How are things going? Or you got to come to church and then talk about each other. No, talk with each other, okay? Right? Come to local assembly. Come and get together with the saints. Meet during the week with the saints. Talk to each other. Give yourself to hospitality. Let your home be like that hospital. Let your heart be the heart of a nurse, a patient person, the heart of a doctor that has dedicated himself to seeing someone restored to health. Look with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. Look over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. If you say, well, I'm not sure what verse to give him. I got a confession to make. I was talking with the guy last night on the phone, and he sent me an email about some difficulty. And I'm sitting there thinking, you know, I'm not even sure where to start, because of the particular situations and so forth, you know, and I'm just sitting there talking to the Lord and say, well, you know, should I use this verse or that verse? And the Lord says, yes. He didn't say it audibly, right? Okay, so as soon as I start telling you I hear him audibly, then you probably should think about firing me, okay? But sometimes maybe you don't know where to start. Sometimes you're sure not what verse to use, right, with someone. Well, here's a passage I think that will give us some insight. Watch this. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. Start with me at verse 3. 2 Corinthians 1:3 says this. Blessed be God. And isn't that true? Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all what? Aren't you glad that He is known that way? Watch this. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation. Okay, why does He do that? Here's why. That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. How? Here's how. By the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So if you ever find yourself in a situation where you are able to be given to hospitality, a saint who's hurting and wounded and has needs, and you're not quite sure what verse to use, what's a good question to ask? What's a good question to ask? Which verse helped you Which verse brought to you that peace that passes all understanding? Which verse did you trust in to get you through a tough time? Which verse did you find strengthened you? And you know what? It'll do the same for that person. How come? Because God comforts you so that you can comfort others. How? By the same verses He used to comfort you. See that? That's a living process. How many of you have eaten the same meal more than once? I don't mean at the same time, by the way. You know, we used to have Bible study a long time ago at John and Cindy's house. I had some great times. Remember that? And John would always cook supper and everything. You know what? This guy's a cook. You know, he's the one that makes the statement, never trust a skinny cook. Okay, so I'll leave that with him. But all right, we'd go over there, and then he'd make these big, gigantic hamburgers. I think he was trying to give me a heart attack. And if my wife knew, she'd never let me go again. You know, that kind of thing. Yeah, really. He'd make all kinds of good stuff and everything. But we would have Bible study over there. And now I'm trying to think, why did I get off on this subject? Oh, because I'm hungry. That's right. That's right. I still. That's what it was. That's right. Yes. Eat more than once. Here's the point. Okay. Really, I've totally lost why I went there. I'm totally completely. You know. Here's why. Good food is always good food. You'll eat a nice big bowl of spaghetti once, and you'll eat it again. You'll eat a nice hamburger. Listen. The verses, you might have tasted them and used them 100 times before, they'll still work forever. So give them the verses again. Not only feed yourself with that same verse, the same verses that worked for you will also feed another brother or sister who's needed. A bad verse is like eating liver, okay? All right. So let's quickly go back to Romans chapter 12 here. I need to get along a lot further than this. But you see the reality of that verse? In fact, watch this. Let me ask you if you believe something. Let me ask you if you believe something here. Watch this. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Yes, thank you. There we go. He's already answered it. All right. That's the right answer. Everybody hear what he said? Watch this. Look at this verse, Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm going to start at verse 15, but it's in particular verse 16. It says, but speaking the truth in love, this is Ephesians 4, verse 15, speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now verse 16, he says this, from whom the whole body, so does that include you? How come? Because you're a part of the body, right? From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which, what? So are you in there? Yeah, okay. That which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Is there something for you to do in the body of Christ? What? Don't just say yes, what? What is there for you to do in the body of Christ? Feed the pastor, he says. Amen. I'm coming to your house, okay? Well, is there something for you by faith to do in the body of Christ? Yes or no? Do what? To distribute to the necessity of saints, to give yourself to hospitality, to minister to one another, to edify one another. See how that verse says? Unto the edifying of itself in what? In love. In valuing what God values. Listen, your time in the Word is never a waste of time. Your time taking the Word of God into your inner man is never a waste of time. And when you take your time to take the Word of God and to minister to someone else, to reach out to someone else who is hurting and wounded, that is never a waste of time. When the Apostle Paul says things like redeeming the time, that's what you're doing. When you take the time in the Word of God and allow the Word of God to minister to you personally, you are redeeming the time. You're using the time for the purpose that God created it. God created time to glorify Christ. Time has been taken over by the adversary. And when you take the Word of God and you minister to someone else, when you share the Word of God with someone else, when you allow the Word of God to comfort someone else, you are redeeming time. You're taking back time for the purpose that God intended it, that is to glorify Christ. You're doing what that verse says right there. Do you believe that? It's the reality of it. And we have an opportunity. Life is the opportunity to apply the reality of grace. Isn't that exciting to think about that? Go with me to Romans chapter number 12. We kind of joke sometimes about, you know, Henry and Mercy were here early this morning and helping us set up and everything. And you know, for the longest time, Ken and Dan have, for years now, they're like the first ones here and so forth, you know. And, of course, they get out of bed like 4 in the morning anyway. So everybody else rolls out at the crack of noon, whatever. But they're out early and, you know, they always say, man, well, they don't say this all the time, but, you know, at some point, Ken and Dan, and we're not trying to get rid of them, but at some point, they're going to go home to be with the Lord. And they're saying, well, where are these young guys that are helping set up and everything? And that's hint, hint, right, to the young guys, right? But so we were commenting about Henry and Mercy and say, see, you guys are here setting up early, right, Ken? So it's not just you anymore. Even something like that, when you come and give your time and energy and effort for the local assembly, not the building, not the brick and the 2x4, but to facilitate the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, you do that by faith. Isn't that something? Look with me, go back to Romans 12, watch what he says next now. Look at verse 14. He says, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. See that? Verse 14. What is it that the verse says that just flat out reads our heart? When it says bless and curse not, what is it telling us we tend to do? You curse them, yeah. It just reads our heart right there, doesn't it? The Word of God just comes right out and says, hey, do this, don't do that. Which means God, the Holy Spirit, knows the tendency of our heart, knows the tendency of our flesh. Now, what is the difference between blessing someone and cursing someone? When you're cursing someone, you're saying to what? Yeah, but what are you saying to them? Yeah, either I'm better than you, or what else are we saying to them when you curse someone? In the context of, instead of blessing them, you're cursing them. What are you saying? Yeah, you got what you deserve. Yeah, give it to them. You so-and-so, kind of a thing. See what you're doing? You're wishing evil upon them, ill upon them, and you're glad that it happens. They got theirs, kind of a thing. Well, that is the natural tendency of the flesh. Let me have you go back to the book of Romans chapter 1. There's a word over here that I want you to see. Look back at Romans 1. Romans chapter number 1 tells us, look at verse 29. This is all the result of a reprobate mind. Verse 29, being filled with. Okay, so here's what a reprobate mind leads to. Romans 1:29, being filled with unrighteousness, fornication, wicked, lovely things, right? Unrighteousness, wickedness, fornication, covetousness. What's covetousness? He says maliciousness. What's maliciousness? If something's malicious, what is it? It's wishing bad. You see that? It's intent to hurt. Right? Maliciousness. Look at the next phrase. Full of envy. See those phrases? All of those things are the result of a reprobate mind. They are the product of the flesh. So when you can turn back to chapter number 12. So when Paul says this, he says, bless them that persecute you. When someone comes along and persecutes you as a believer, what does our flesh want to do? Persecute back. Get them back, kind of a thing. Or maybe we say it this way. You're going to go to hell one day, and I'm not going to give you the gospel because you're persecuting me. So in saying it that way, what are we saying? We're cursing them. See that? So what's our thinking? The thinking of our flesh is, okay, you persecute me, well, you're going to get yours one day. Wait till you have to stand before God and give an account for the fact that you persecuted me and I'm a saint of the Most High God. What did we just do? We cursed them. We think we're somebody up here and so forth. But what should we do? When he says bless and curse not, it requires a change in our thinking. It requires a different power source. It requires, and again, when I say require, I don't mean the law. I'm saying that it means that something else is operating inside of us. So we look at that person that persecutes us and so forth, and instead of wishing ill upon that person, we've got to say, wait a minute. If the rapture happened before I got saved, where am I going? If I died before I got saved, where am I going? So here I have an opportunity to be a blessing to this man that curses me, or woman that curses me, or whatever. Here I have an opportunity to put in human flesh the reality of the Christ that I claim that died for that person. And so instead of cursing them, I can bless them. I can say, listen, Christ died for you. God loves you. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ and He'll save you too, just like He saved me. I know, but see the difference there? Plus, if we feel like we gotta curse that guy because he persecutes us, what is running me now? Yes, myself. What else? Listen, emotion's running me. That emotion of having to get back at that guy. And I'm putting him under the law. And is there any real health in that? There's nothing at all. I mean, there's no benefit to that. I mean, all the emotion stuff that comes in, you've got to get back at that person. See that? No, you don't. There's a passage of Scripture that I've thought about a lot over the years because I needed to. Paul says this. It's over in 1 Corinthians 6. He says, why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Well, because they're going to take advantage of me. Yeah, but why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Well, because it's money out of my pocket. Yeah, but why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Well, because why? See how that's a powerful verse. That's the one I like to scratch out of my Bible sometimes, you know? Right? Lord, just for a few minutes, give me a special dispensation where I can wish evil on this guy, and after I've thoroughly satisfied my flesh with wishing evil on this guy, I promise you I'll come back and live in the dispensation of grace. Yeah, right. No, it doesn't work that way. See that? How come unsaved people act the way they act? Because that's right. What's the life source they have? Adam's life. Christ says it this way, if the light that is in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? Look at an interesting passage over in Titus chapter number 3 here. Look over to Titus chapter number 3. Look over to Titus chapter number 3. Watch this. Watch this. This is a really wonderful verse to kind of help our thinking just about how to deal with people that are against you. And being against you are against the truth, right? Watch what he says in Titus chapter 3 verse 1. He says, put them in mind. What does that phrase mean, by the way? Yeah. Right. Remind the saints, right? He says to Titus to remind them, put them in mind to be subject to principalities, powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. To speak evil of... Well, let's get that part. To speak evil of no man. Yikes. Man, I need to watch my tongue and my mind, right? To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, to be gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Wait a minute. Why? Do all men deserve gentleness? Do all men deserve kindness? Do all men deserve tenderness? No. But neither did I. Neither did we. Well, what made the difference? What is it that came along and changed us? Watch the next verse. For we ourselves also were just like they are. We ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. That's what we were. What made the difference? Here it is. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior towards man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly. abundantly. Aren't you glad for that word there? Shall us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Can you say amen to those verses? Isn't that something? What made the difference between our predicament that we were in verse 3 to the great change in verse 4, 5, 6, 7? God did, by His grace and the blood of Christ. If that's what made the difference in us, it is what will make the difference in their life. So when the unsaved act like the unsaved, when they persecute the saved, when they persecute you as a believer, instead of persecuting back, instead of giving evil for evil, bless them. How? Like God blessed us. How? By giving them the gospel. And my, oh my, it sets... If we can be set free from something like envy, if we can be set free from something like, well, that, I hope that guy gets what's coming to him. If we can be set free from malice, wishing evil upon someone who wishes evil upon us, do you understand the freedom from having to be controlled by those emotions? It takes power, right? Is your flesh going to do it? No, I don't think so. You got the same flesh I do. I got the same flesh you do. And I got to constantly check my flesh and say, don't think that way. Don't act that way. Instead, instead of giving evil, what can we give? Grace. What an exchange. What a tremendous opportunity. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, as we talk about these seemingly simple statements in Your Word, but statements that really do take us to high ground, the ground of the heavenly places where You have given the gospel of Your grace to this world today, and You give it to the world through Your Word working in us. And Father, might we truly take these things and apply them, because we know life is the opportunity to do so, and to look for the opportunity to minister words of grace, words of comfort, words of forgiveness, words that will provide strength and support for those that are weak and hurting. And we'll thank You for this in Christ's name. Amen.